Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, coming to you today from Sao Paulo, Brazil, in our ninth academy here in Sao Paulo. Joining me today is Leah Forkiller. Leah's on the faculty here in Brazil, and when she's not doing that, she's a managing director at Anchor Consulting. Leah, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
You bet. I'm glad to be here in Sao Paulo and also to participate in the podcast. This is my inaugural event, and I know it's going to be fun.
Great. Well, I hope so. And you picked an interesting topic for us to talk about, which is how a compliance officer is promoted from sort of compliance staff to leadership handles that best. So let me ask you from the start, when people do get promoted and suddenly, you know, are the chief compliance officer, what do they tend to struggle with most from a leadership perspective?
Yeah, it is an interesting challenge, as you know, all our companies love to promote from within, which, you know, I think is great because we come with the base of knowledge. But I think when you go into that different role, probably the hardest thing and the thing I would say you need to know first is, what is the role definition? What is the scope of what I do now versus what I did before? And that way I'm not drawn back into doing things that aren't my function, and I get the time to do what I need to do. I also think we come into roles as we're promoted within the organization, and we're not necessarily equipped with the skills to lead. We may be great, high productive, and are task oriented or at the level that we're at, but we really weren't trained in how to lead. So sometimes we don't have the leadership skills to help build a team, grow a team, and to work with leadership. I think another challenge is developing the respect and the trust of the executive or the higher leaders now that you're a peer of. They've seen you in a different role, so now you have to expand your knowledge and to be able to communicate with them and show that this role is now, you are the right fit for it and you have the skills. So, overall, I think it's really understanding your role and then getting the skills and leadership to develop the respect and the trust of the leaders you now work with.
Yeah, and I think one of the things people are so excited about the new role is not realizing all that comes with it. I mean, it's not just a raise, a promotion, a title, like, you know, when you're a direct report. It's suddenly all the weight is on you, and you've got to prove that you're able to carry it. And at the same time, I think one of the first points you made is a good one. There's things that we've all been doing that we're used to doing, and now it's time to say, nope, not me. That's not me anymore. Somebody else has to do with it. And it can be a little bit harder to let go than people think. Now, what are the leadership skills that are most important for people to have?
You know, when you say the most important, I don't know that I'm going to tell you, but I think in chronological order, but some attributes that I think kind of will propel you for success is you have to have integrity. I mean, you have to be able to make tough decisions, always act in the appropriate manner, and be knowledgeable of what, you know, obviously the mission and vision and values of your organization is, because people will be watching everything that you do. So I always put integrity as first. I think the next or another important skill is collaboration. And that, I think, is harder because you may have been in a role where you didn't have to collaborate as much. And your collaboration is different because you are usually going to be at the pinnacle of decision makers. And so you have to be able to collaborate with them and learn from them and what their businesses are. So I think another key attribute and skill that you need to have in the role is listening. Communicating is great, but listening is the biggest part of that. And you have to listen, because I've always said is what people tell me is extremely important, but what people don't tell me sometimes is even more important. So listening, I think, is it. They also have promoted you, and they're expecting you to have a level of skill and expertise. So you need to make sure that you're staying current on laws and regulations. I think that also will help build the other things we talked about, or overcome the challenges with your knowledge and your seeking of knowledge, always to be current, not just in the laws and the regulations, but also in the business and what's going on in the business and what strategically the company is looking to do. The last thing I think, or last couple of things I'll say is, you got to be a problem solver, because this role is about, you know, moving your company forward. And in that, you know, progress and growth, you're going to have problems that occur, and you've got to be able to take all the skills we talked about to come to a good solution. And the last thing is, our industries grow. the one thing we find, which is valuable because there's so much information out there, is we need to be able to interpret our data to see if there is compliance risks or opportunities for our companies on some very complex subjects. So I think we need to focus on the data that we have in our companies and maybe look at it from a compliance perspective more than we have in the past.
Yeah, it really, I think to sum it up, is you need to think of yourself not just as a compliance leader, but as a business leader as well.
Absolutely, we are a business partner. And I think while we are responsible and independent of business, and we're responsible for implementing and developing a program for our companies, it will not be successful if we're not collaborating with our businesses and their strategic directions.
Excellent. So you just mentioned a mistake people make, which is not being collaborative. What are some of the other common mistakes that folks make when they assume these leadership positions?
I think one of the common things that I see in behaviors is that we behave the same in this role as we did in our past role. And we need to expand our role. And we are not necessarily, typically as you move up in a leadership position, there is less task-oriented things and you're more into strategic and directional thinking. So you don't want to slip back to where you're comfortable and you communicate the same way and you behave the same way in your workday. So I think that's one of the common mistakes that are made. I think the one I mentioned earlier, a common mistake is not listening. You know, we tend to be thinking and not stopping thinking or multitasking and actually listening to the conversation that we're having. I think another difficult thing I find is that understanding that the relationship you had with former peers is now different and that you have to establish new relationships with a different level of peers. So how I might have related to you in my former role will be different in this role. So things we might have said in one conversation in that task-oriented role will be different as a leader. You'll be expecting me to help provide direction and insight, maybe more so than a task response to an issue before. I think another common mistake is not collaborating or thinking we have to do all of this ourselves. And it's really, we are a part of a leadership team to help make decisions and to make good recommendations for the company. Mm-hmm. And also, we also have to collaborate with the board. You know, whoever the authority is that is responsible for the program, we need to be seen as being insightful and helping the business as well and have empathy for the business. We understand the constraints of the industries that we're in. We know the financial picture. We know that those can then themselves create opportunity and risk. I think we have a team now, and we have to not, a common mistake is not focusing enough on inspiring and motivating that team. These people are now looking to you for those leadership. So you can't distance yourself. You have to stay connected and really understand and learn each of your people that work with you what their goals are and their career goals. So I think that's really important. I think another important and common mistake that we do sometimes is we don't recognize our own weaknesses because we don't think we're allowed to have anything we need to learn. So I think that's one of the common mistakes. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to know all and be all. And that's not what great leaders do. So you need to give yourself that latitude.
Yeah, good dose of humility is always useful, no matter what the role is.
Humility and reality, yes. Uh-huh.
Now, you mentioned something. You said people are a part of a team, but also now you're leading a compliance team. What should a good leader look for in their compliance team?
I think that's always the best part because what makes any organization successful is who is on the team. It's not who's leading the team. So great leaders find great people to do good things. So when I look for team members and things I think that we should think about is our team members come to us with a specialized skill. They have a passion and an expertise typically about one or two topics. So you want to know what those are because the best compliance team is comprised of varied skill sets, in my opinion, because that way you've got resources all across the company in your department that know certain things. You may have an auditor, you may have an educator, you may have a certain expertise in your operations. So I think that variety helps everybody succeed because you have somebody with subject matter expertise. I think that also is good to know the weaknesses of a team member. Team members who don't like to speak in public, team members that just want to do task-oriented audits instead of the education that follows or things like that. So not that they, you don't grow them to do those things, but you understand for them, it causes them some anxiety perhaps and some discomfort. So you understand, do they need more training in a particular thing? So that's your job as a leader, is to also propel and lead your team. I always want to know on my team, what's your plan? What's your career goal? And, you know, and with that, my job, and I see it as one of my most awesome responsibilities, is to help them succeed and follow their career path, whatever it is. I've, you know, love growing people, knowing that they're going to leave me probably. Mm-hmm. I always want to grow people to take my job. I think that's also, as well as you find that passion for something, that's very important. You know, obviously I look for people who want to collaborate, know how to collaborate, or we can work on the skills to communicate. They need to be detail oriented in some of the tasks of my team. So I want to make sure I understand who is and who isn't. And then, as we know in compliance, organization is going to be key. We have 7 elements in addition to a million other things to do. We have to be able to organize that, multitask, and also prioritize.
Now, one of the things we've talked about just now is, you know, developing your team, but nonetheless, management's going to need to develop you as well. What should the company, you know, what does the company need to do to foster leadership? How can you try and get the best out of them to make you grow as a leader and do your job more effectively?
So when I think of leadership, I think both in terms of my team and then also leaders in the company to support the compliance program. So I'll kind of approach it both ways. So I think providing leadership for my team and for the people I have the privilege to work with is workshops. Let's get together and open dialogues and not just sit and listen. So actually have a workshop where we take a challenge or an issue or an aspect of our team we want to grow, and we work it through as a team. I think that is great. You invest time and people know that you really are interested in the success of them in the program. I also think you have to give your staff training opportunities to go to learn other aspects of the compliance program. Like you mentioned earlier, we're comfortable in what we do, but, you know, allow our staff and plan for training to, for them to go to learn something new, so they can obviously grow, and then they can also maybe bring new light to how we're doing a process that we thought was working great. We can always improve. I think some of our learners like to be self-study, so we need to make available resources like the online kind of programs we have in HCCA and SCCE and other, you know, organizations that help them learn at their own pace and at their own time. And they can watch it whenever. And I think because we work hard 8 to 5 and we'd love to have that hour, sometimes I might have it on my drive home. So I think that's valuable to find those resources that work with our busy schedules. For the company, I think it's important for them to have a process to identify stars and those that are, you see as potential leaders that you've seen exhibit great skill sets or desire to that you know are going to be high achievers just by watching their pathway through your company. And then when you watch them as a leadership group, you put in programs in place to teach them to lead. So all the things we talked about as challenges, we put a program together would be the ultimate, where we teach them leadership skills long before they become leaders. So they learn to exhibit, they learn to watch what we do as leaders to grow and prepare them for leading. I think one of the things with my department members, as well as other departments of the company, I think we should have an internship where they actually rotate through certain departments and learn what those departments do. That empowers them to be better leaders and supporters at the compliance program if they truly understand the business that they're working in. And I think that internship brings back valuable information for them and teaches them how they can contribute more on the compliance program for a risk area of the company they have seen.
Yeah, and especially, you know when you're asking, for example, a business unit to do X, Y, or Z, how really difficult or not that's going to be for them. It certainly makes for a much smoother flowing process. Well, Leah, thanks for taking the time to share your insights with us today, for all the folks at the Academy. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.